Matt Gurney here, Rush Minair with me. It is The Rush on News Talk 1010. And no, I did not almost combine the name of the show and Rush Minair. It kind of might have sounded like I did for a second, but anyone who thought that is an error. Rushmi, we've been talking all show long, including just about my own commute in. By TTT standards today, a relatively smooth commute in for me in that I only saw one incident, which was a man at Dundas Station coming down on the Yonge line. A man just screaming incoherently at the station. And honestly, when the doors opened and the screams came in, everybody kind of like leaned forward in their seats and peeked out. And then we saw he wasn't coming on the train. We all went right back to our books.
Mm-hmm.
We're just getting used to it already.
Yeah. And some people are describing the situation as Gotham City, the National Post publishing that today. And some councillors asking their counterparts if what the city's response has been so far is the right response, because we're seeing 80 officers working overtime, going through transit, walking through subway stations, on streetcars, trains, and buses, because the attacks happen on any form of transit in this city. And we're seeing other community officers being brought in. But is this the way to go? One councillor, Alejandra Bravo, joined her counterparts, at least six councillors in Toronto City Hall, asking the mayor and city staff if what we're doing is really going to make a difference. And we are happy to welcome Councillor Alejandra Bravo, representing Ward 9 Davenport, to The Rush here on News Talk 1010 Toronto. Welcome, Councillor.
Thank you so much, Rashmi, and great to be here with you and Matt.
Can you give us an idea of what motivated you and your peers to write this letter to Mayor John Tory, what you're hoping to achieve?
Yeah, these announcements have been coming so fast and furious without real consideration from any committee of council, without any staff briefings, and without any costing. Or usually when decisions are made here, historically, there's been a staff report that lays out the pros and cons, the alternatives that have been considered and studied, and the evidence, the rationale. We saw this already starting before the budget was announced, with three announcements by the mayor about what he would see as priorities. The first one was increased policing budget. And, you know, we heard through the budget process from, I sat through about 130, 140 deputations out of 230, maybe I sat through more. And deputant after deputant that came to speak at city council said that what we need is to hit a different balance. Like, people aren't okay right now in the city. There's a lot of problems. Homelessness is just huge, because people losing their housing constantly, evictions, the high cost of living, and the deep cuts that have taken place. And there's nowhere that people feel those cuts more deeply than on the transit system. I don't know if either of you take transit, but I do every day. And it's sort of like tumbleweeds in a lot of stations. There's nobody, when you enter at the fare collection, there are fewer operators on the trains. And just in general, the feeling that this system has really been cut to the bone. And it's the site where a lot of the social problems that the city faces are located. So, yeah, we got elected to ask questions. And the questions have to do with what alternatives were considered. What is the right evidence for this? How much does this cost? And what are the implications of making these announcements on the fly?
Councillor, I do use transit regularly, not daily, because like many in the post-COVID era, I do work from home. But whenever I'm heading downtown, I'm on transit. I'm running errands. I'm on transit. I'm probably on transit 2 or 3 days out of a typical week. You're right. Mm-hmm. I am seeing a real lack of staff in many of these TTC stations. The question I would have, and I asked the question with an open mind, I don't want you to think that I'm opposed to what you're proposing here, is I don't expect any random TTC employee to be my knight in shining armor if something goes badly on the system here. We can talk about putting more people in the system, but in the context of the crisis we're facing now, what kind of people should we be putting in the system?
Yeah, for sure. I think that the sort of the service cuts have really added up over time. And there's from what we know now, there's going to be about 100 other positions eliminated through, quote, efficiencies at the TTC. Definitely, we need a bunch of different kinds of workers present in transit, but also, in 24-hour Tim Hortons, in libraries, in every public place where like the massive inequality in the city is playing out. So what does that look like? We need people that can do crisis intervention when people aren't well. We need to help people get, you know, who are sleeping on transit because they have nowhere else to go. Well, we need to get them inside. But none of that is currently funded or exists. You know, if you are cold right now, you go to a warming center because it's really cold. You have no place to live. The warming centers are full. The shelters are full. And we heard, you know, from a lot of doctors here at City Hall at a committee saying, well, emergency departments are just giving tokens or transit fare to people that they're releasing, and also giving them Tim Hortons cards. So these are big problems that are playing out. The violence, however, isn't because people are not housed right now. All kinds of people are behaving in violent ways, all the way from very young teenagers to people on their commute who are frustrated. I think it's really important to just recognize that we haven't come out of this pandemic very well. You know, there's a lot of sort of like, okay, let's dust off and move on. But mental health has suffered in this city. It doesn't matter what, you know, what your experience is and what your age is. The problem is compounded with inequality when there isn't the support available to people. And we're just all interacting in this system that has fewer trains coming through. The buses are more infrequent. The short turns are happening. That if you take transit, you know that it's very frustrating. And people, there's often conflicts between transit riders with transit workers. It's a range of people who are there to be responsible adults and de-escalate situations. The question I have, and the question that other my colleagues had that we put together, have a lot to do with, are we choosing the right solution and at what cost? So the first is, it's just like the massive bill that's going to come, and who's going to pay for that? Is it going to come out of the transit fare? Because when we get overtime officers that we assign, say, and for transportation purposes, that gets billed back to the city. So what's going to be cut as a result? You know, and our back of the envelope calculations were pretty high. And so we need to get those answers for people. And the second thing, it comes at a high cost because not everybody feels safe with a massive police presence. And I don't think that we've heard that we've made enough movement in this city to make sure that policing is experienced equitably and fairly by everyone.
And the letter that you wrote is being supported by the former chair of the Toronto Police Services Board, Alec Mukherjee, who is pointing out that you're asking very good and very relevant questions. Do you anticipate an answer to these questions? Because taxpayers are with you, Councillor. We want to know how much something's going to cost before we spend the money these days.
Yeah, I think that's true. And I think it's part of our duty as councillors. It's like good stewardship of city resources means the fiscally prudent choice, but also the fair choice. I don't know whether we're going to get the answers. I know that there's been sort of a subtweeting criticism about councillors that are sending out letters from the mayor's office. But we resorted to this because we can't get answers. You know, through the budget process, we asked, for example, on TTC, we know there are cuts. It's 100% verified. So what routes will be impacted and what service hours are going to be reduced? Where? And we were told we were going to get the answer by the time the budget committee wrapped up. Well, that was last week and that never happened. And then we get this announcement. So there's, you know, we're sort of flying from crisis to crisis, announcing things without costing. I hope that we get the answers. It's really important, I think, for residents to ask these questions and for media to ask these questions. But I can say that we didn't get a heads up. We don't get a briefing. These things are really happening out of the mayor's office. And that's why we had to direct our questions directly to the mayor.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Alexandra Bravo here, Ward 9, Davenport, one of six councillors signing the letter, raising concerns to Mayor John Tory. It's Mac Ernie, Resh Minaire, The Rush on News Talk 1010.